Number five is from the Comptroller, providing an informational presentation regarding the five-year fiscal forecast for Milwaukee County. It is informational, unless otherwise corrected by the
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, one of the things that the Comptroller's office is required to do, and previously it had been done by the Department of Administrative Services, is a five-year financial forecast of Milwaukee County. And this represents a broad selection of financial people, including Rob Henkin from the Public Policy Forum. And we issue this report around this time of year to, in essence, provide an overview of where the county is looking like in the next 5 years. Kind of the basis for it is that based on we use 2013 budget kind of as our basis for this. And from that, then, we grow off of that number and predict where items will take us without any amendment or adjustment or other type of item. In essence, we don't make any prediction as to where the budget or other issues will take us, or if we're going to do any cuts. We don't plan on any cuts or any other types of things. It's only based upon 2013 as your beginning point and where things will take us from here. And there's been a lot of changes over the years to this report and some positive news. We still have some negative amounts, but I'm going to let Josh Fudge do the discussion through the PowerPoint demonstration that we have for you on this amount.
Mr. Fudge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll start on the overview of the process since Mr. Manske basically outlined it. As you mentioned, it's built off the 2013 adopted budget. We apply a number of assumptions to how the items in the budget are going to behave in the future. Those assumptions are approved by a cross-departmental work group, and then basically the model is created. The work group, as mentioned, is made up of several individuals from several other departments, as well as Mr. Henkin from the Public Policy Forum. To go into the...
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Can I just ask a question?
Go ahead.
It was the first time I'd ever seen you listed as with the exec's office, and I was just trying to understand what's going on staff-wise. And just to understand who the players are, you said it's an interdepartmental group, but I had always had you as DAS, and so I'm trying to
sure.
understand.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, at the time that this report was created, I was still a budget analyst in the Department of Administrative Services Fiscal Division. However, on April 1st, I transitioned over to the Office of the County Executive to become the Director of Strategic Planning. So since I knew that this presentation would be provided after my move, that's why I listed myself that way.
Okay. I appreciate the explanation. I had not heard that.
So. Yeah. Sure.
And you have another role to serve, do you not?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do. So I guess my title will change the next time you see this, too.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher. All right, proceed, please.
All of the line items in the operating budget are divided into account types, those items that we think will behave in a similar fashion or are related to each other. The 10 largest expenditures are on this slide that you see here. These represent about the largest five, as you see in the table on the left, represent about 52% of the county's expenditures. The next five largest in the table on the right represent about 35, so combined it's about 87% of the county's expenditures, excuse me, are in those 10 largest by absolute value. Same with the revenues. You see the five largest revenues are on the left, the next five largest are on the right. Combined they represent about 82% of the county's revenues. And if you have any questions, please feel free to.
Have any questions of what you just saw? Supervisor Haas?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the previous slide we saw there was CMO revenue is the highest revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I love guessing at acronyms,
care
but can you please?
Sure, it's the Care Management Organization or Department of Family Care.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And generally, that department in through this, I mean, it has a big number that's related to all of this, but generally it's a break even. The reason, so we're it's part of the budget, so we include the dollars in here, and it has a big impact from that standpoint, but it is neither adding to or taking from the surplus or deficit because they have adequate reserves and other types of things to cover any of the dollar amounts that they have. So you see it in here, and you think it's big, and what's the impact of it, but it has no, it will not change any of the deficits that you see, or will not take from any of the amounts that you see.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fudge. Thank you, Mr. Metzke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. My question would be on this eternal thing of cross charges. You know, where are we philosophically, bookkeeping-wise? I mean, the necessity of it, what it really means, how we really look at that, you know, when we give department budgets. You know, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Could you explain that a little bit, or what ongoing philosophy is on this, or why we need to do it or continue to do it?
The philosophy changes. I mean, I've been here 21 years, and the philosophy has changed several times in those years. I mean, before I started, there were really no cross charges, back in the early 80s, there were no cross charges. Nobody was cross charging anybody. Each department kind of survived on its own. In the late 80s, a decision was made: we need to cross charge departments in order to get some revenue back. Try to get it out of federal sources, out of state sources, and other things. And what they found is that they could charge that to various grants. What happened over the years in the 90s and the early 2000s is most the states said, I'm going to give you a sum certain. They changed from doing a reimbursement based upon an amount, but they said, I'm going to give you a sum certain. You still have to tell me what you're all spending it for, but I'm going to give you a sum certain amount. For example, the Department of Family Care said what they did is they give them X dollars per individual, and they expect them to use that money based upon all of the charges that they have, but they expect them to break even or not. Some years they've had surplus from that, some years they've had deficit from that issue. So it constantly moves back and forth. So what the county has continued to kind of have is to have the charge cross-charge issue. Where a discussion is kind of going right now, however, is to kind of maybe to pull back from some of the cross-charge issue because it kind of takes some of the issues and kind of pushes things out there where you can't get any reimbursement. It shows departments maybe at a higher charge than they really should be. I mean, for example, there's the issue on the legacy costs. It really is a cost centrally to the county. If you lose a department, for example, when certain parts of DHHS went up to the state, the question kind of became is, you know, did that charge go away? No, the legacy charge didn't go away. There were no savings or anything from that department. So do you continue to charge that or do you not continue to charge that, especially since it's a fixed amount that's kind of going through there? So I know that the Department of Administrative Services is looking at that. They've had some discussions with me regarding it. What I'm telling you is it's gone back and forth and around again. But what has happened is the federal and state government, at least on their standpoint, has pretty much gone away from a reimbursement of those types of issues. Is it a fair amount that we're charging out the department? Yes, it has to be based upon a fair policy and methodology, and those are all the requirements, and that's what we do. Is it something that really needs there to be there for the majority of the departments? No, because most of them don't receive any grant revenue, any federal revenue, and it doesn't add anything. It just kind of clouds the picture as to what their true costs are. So I know the Department of Administrative Services is looking at the whole cross-charge issue and wondering whether they, you know, can change it or not change it for these types of items based upon what we have there. The reason we do continue to do it for some departments, such as the airport and, you know, some of those, is that we do get a reimbursement related to that. And it is a fair charge. We're not just charging them. I can't say that because then we have the FTA that comes in and says, I'm sorry, you're charging them on a basis that's not fair and reasonable. We're charging them on a fair and reasonable basis, but that means everybody gets charged on a fair and reasonable. Can we maybe still continue to charge those departments on the fair and reasonable basis, you know, their specific portion, but just not included in any of the rest of the departments?
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you. So this next slide shows some of the key assumptions that are in the model related to some of the largest or maybe the most important account types. The arrow direction represents sort of the change to the assumption. So if it's pointing down, that means the assumption went down. If it's green, that means that helps the structural deficit. If it's red, that means it harms the structural deficit. And then the two sort of black sideways arrows you see don't have any impact because there was no change. And I apologize, on capital outlays, there should be 0% in both of those. So inflation was assumed to drop a little bit for 2014 based on some forecasts by the state and federal government. Property taxes due to the cap included in state law, mainly related to limiting it to net new construction, it was reduced to two-thirds of 1%. Salaries are somewhat tied to inflation and a 1% assumption for step increases. So that because inflation dropped, that account type dropped. Employee and retiree health care has been an area of good news. The assumption is that it will increase by 4.9% for 2014. That's basically taking into account a lower base in 2013 as we get more more information. And then in 2015 and beyond, a 7% increase. And that obviously is a great improvement over 9%. Sales tax revenue is dropping slightly just to be a little more conservative. And then the other ones basically remaining flat.
Explain red, green.
Madam Supervisor, green indicates that it helps the structural deficit, it improves our forecast, and red means that it's an item that hurts out in the future.
And are the assumptions consistent with the assumptions from budget of 2013?
Yes, they're based off of 2013, so they take the 2013 level and then forecast out in the future. So yes.
So it's really not 2013. You're forecasting for the years beyond.
Sure. Supervisor, to sort of clarify, the 2013 refers to this is the 2013 budget version. So, yes, the forecast is for 2014 and beyond. And so 2012 is what the forecast was after the 2012, sort of the title of the version, if you will.
Yeah, what we wanted to do is provide you, so last year's forecast, the 2012 forecast, was based upon these assumptions that you see in the column marked 2012. For the 2013 forecast, we went back and took a look at that, and we said, you know, are these trends holding true? What did we see in actual results for 2012? And what we saw as a result of that is inflation is not as much. We had a prediction that property taxes would go up 2.6% a year in the previous five-year projection. This one, we're limiting it to 0.67%. So what that's going to do is that's going to increase your structural deficit because there won't be as much property taxes coming in. That's why you see a red arrow going down.
Yeah, and it looks like you're offsetting that with a conservative assumption on sales tax revenue. I mean, is that fair?
No, sales tax were actually dropping also. We had assumed that sales tax would go up 2.8%, and now we're predicting only an increase of 2.5%.
And if that's too conservative, the unicast will provide a greater reflection of a structural deficit.
Correct. Yeah. And so this is indicating that the structural deficit would increase as a result of these changes that we're making. So the red arrow down is saying that we're going to be pushing the structural deficit. We're going to be increasing the structural deficit due to these decisions that we made. The positive news here is the employee and retiree health care. Is that based upon the trend that we've been seeing in the last couple of years is our health care has not been increasing as much. One of the things that we're seeing, so we're using an inflation, for 1 year we're using 4.9%, but for the future years we're using 7% as an inflationary factor. That's different from the 9% that we've been using in the past, and it's because what we're seeing on the actual results basis. We're still working with the actuary to find out what are the exact reasons of why we're seeing this drop, because we're still hearing in the marketplace somewhere in 8%, 9%, 10% is a conservative But what we're seeing in our own case for Milwaukee County is we're seeing 7% as a more reasonable, which helps. In essence, it lowers the structural deficit. That's why you're seeing a green arrow, you know, positive for that.
I just, and I'm, you know, I'll let you finish, but I just question why you took such a conservative approach with the sales tax revenue, and it hasn't been bearing out when we look at budget.
So. Yeah.
So the next slide basically explains what the model shows. Over the next 5 years, expenditures are forecast to grow by about 4.6% annually, while revenues are forecast to grow only about 3.6% annually. The revenue side is essentially unchanged from last year's version. However, on the expenditure side, in 2012, expenditures were forecast to grow by 5.2% over the 5 years. So that's definitely an improvement and partially related, obviously, to the health insurance forecast changing. The results then is that a structural deficit does persist, but again, it's significantly smaller than in past years. This sort of shows the structural deficit with numbers. So you can see that the forecasted revenues in each year and the forecast expenditures and then the resulting gap. So 5 years out, there's a forecast of about a $77 million deficit. For 2014, it's about $15 million. The next chart essentially shows the numbers that I just provided. It does provide a comparison from last year's version. So the blue dotted line that you see is what the structural deficit was after the 2012 budget, and the red bars are the 2013 budget. So you see some improvement there.
So we wanted to provide that to you so you could get a visual of what's happening with the structural deficit projection, by putting on there, having that line in there showing what last year's projections were. And you also see that in numbers on the bottom of the page. And so we're improving it. There will be a chart later showing the history over the years of this projection of the structural deficit, but showing an improvement, which means you have an improvement as a result of an improvement to your base. So what's been happening over the years is you would not be improving your structural deficit unless you were doing things within each budget year that, in essence, provide a change for all future years. If you're doing a one-time change, it's just going to come straight back to you in the subsequent year. So what you're seeing as a result is there are changes that are being done during the budget that are providing improvement to all future years going forward. And that's how you see this. The structural deficit, you know, is a good way to say getting better, improvements occurring.
So just to sort of explore the structural deficit drivers, and they're really generally the same as they have been in previous years. Personnel costs continue to grow, although fortunately slower than they have in past versions, but there is a lack of revenue growth and revenue diversity. The forecast shows that all personnel costs will rise by 21% in 2018. However, that is an improvement over last year's version, down from 26%. Fringe benefits are forecast to rise 29%. And again, that's an improvement over last year's version, which had a 36% increase forecast over 5 years. The next slide just shows the personnel costs as a total percentage of total operating expenditures. Forecast to rise slowly up to about 46% by 2018. Fringe benefits are highlighted in orange, and all other personnel costs are highlighted in blue. And the next slide just breaks out fringe benefits and sort of shows the same methodology, rising from just under 16% to about 17% of the county's total operating expenditures by 2018. Related to revenue, as I mentioned, the lack of revenue diversity is an issue for the county. There are some revenues that are restricted, such as the airport, the CMO, which we described earlier, child support revenue, state highways reimbursement. There are many sources of revenue that are discretionary that we could use for any purpose that we wanted, And then there's also a large category of state and federal revenues. And looking at the forecast, the green line is the restricted revenues, and they are basically, because they're largely reimbursement-based, they're keeping track, they're rising much more quickly than any other source of revenue. Discretionary revenues are forecast to decline, as are state and federal revenues, as a percentage of the county's total. So because restricted revenues are rising so quickly, the other sources of revenue would then decline.
And restricted just means that you can only use it for that purpose. For example, airport was one. I can only use airport revenues for the airport. The care management organization, family care, I can only use that revenue for family care. I can't use it to offset other operating costs in the county. So restricted is just being able to be used for those revenue purposes.
Thank you. And I hope I didn't miss this, but in terms of the personnel costs, I can understand on health care that you'd use the trends that we've been seeing, but in terms of salaries and wages, did we carry forward what have been the recent policies in terms of step freezes or all of those sorts of things, or how did we handle that? Because the assumption that sort of continues indefinitely might be a problematic in terms of us getting out of line. So how do you reconcile that?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, that's a good question, and the work group has had a lot of discussion on that. The view that we have taken is that step freezes and no COLAs, things like that, were one-year policies, and that you can't assume that salaries will remain flat forever.
Okay.
That's why we applied the inflationary increase for COLAs, which is tied to the inflation that we saw back on third or fourth slide, 1.4%. That would be the COLA portion, and then a 1% for a step increase. So we do assume that salaries and wages and Social Security then would rise by about 2.4% annually.
Okay, I appreciate that.
For
such
most
a big
of the
piece of the pie that.
Yeah, for most of the unions and for non-represented employees, the freeze for steps was for a two-year period.
Okay.
And so several, for example, non-representatives, members are no longer frozen for steps. They are continuing to get their steps. People that were represented by AFSCME, which began, so in July of 2011, they had a two-year freeze that was enacted at that time. So they will be coming off of that freeze in July 2013. So anybody who's up for a step increase starting in July will be getting that step increase. And so then other unions were based upon a two-year period, so as they're coming off. So for this purposes of this, it's the assumption was is that the step freezes are off because everybody will be off by the end of this year and will be continuing forward. So we're just continuing right now with the freezes that were done for the two-year period for everybody, but most everybody will be off of that by the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
One other piece of good news is on the expenditure side is the debt service payments. The forecast for debt service is a fairly significant decline, from just under $90 million in 2013 down to about $65 million in 2018, with one large caveat on that related to the state budget to follow. But as far as the model is concerned, this decreasing debt service expenditure is good news for the structural deficit, and it assumes a continued capital bonding program of about $30 to $35 million as we've had in the past. And it does not, I'm sorry, it does not include pension obligation bonds. Those are included in personnel costs.
And it also doesn't include potential change in federal tax law, which I know Mr. Mansky and I have had some conversations about. I mean, one of the major provisions is the potential loss of tax exemption for counties and state governments. That could be a real driver of our inability to keep up with capital needs. And I assume those assumptions aren't in any of those numbers.
No. So that assumption, if we would lose our tax-exempt financing, which provides us savings every year, that's not in this assumption. The other assumption that we didn't make in here is the current proposal that's in the state budget. So if you look at 2015, you see the drop. If you can go back to the... Oh, is it? Okay. If you take a look at this slide here and you see the decrease that occurs in 2015 of $15.8 million. The way that the state budget for property tax purposes, it's kind of split into two pieces. You can issue property taxes to cover your debt. So you can always do that. If your debt goes up, you can increase your property taxes for that. Your debt goes down, you must decrease your property taxes for that. Operating purposes, however, is frozen. So you have to split it into two pieces. So the $15.8 million that is in there under the proposal that's in the governor's budget is that our property taxes would have to drop by that $15.8 million in 2015, and in essence, we could not use it for offsetting any of our issues that any of our operating costs that increase in that year. And the item that would increase for our operating costs that year would be about a $10 million increase in pension costs. The pension payment would go from about $36 million to $46 million in 2015, so about a $10 million increase. So some of the timing was done. We knew when this debt was coming, so we kind of timed it this way, you know, with our payments. And the reason the pension payment was lower is that when we won on the lawsuit $40 million, we put that $40 million into the pension plan, and that was amortized over these years so we could get to this point and use that point to cover this difference. Now, we may not be able to do that, which means on the operating side, you'll have a $10 million increase for pension, but your property taxes on the debt side would go down by the $15.8
million.
So, but that's not in these assumptions right now, but I wanted to point that out.
Just some other major items included in the model. Transit federal revenue. In last year's version, the assumption was that the CMAQ funding would run out in 2014. The County Department of Transportation has indicated that there will be some funding still available to carry into 2014. I believe it's about $5.5 million. So that helps the 2014 situation. Also, the Doane Hospital revenue. Last year's version, it was forecast to end after 2016. We subsequently discovered that the payments should continue through 2020. So the impact of that will be in 2021. The model has the ability to provide the forecast for each department. In this year's version, it shows the forecast of the sources and uses in the transit division. So you can see the available revenues. Non-property tax revenues are in the blue, and the forecast expenditures are in the red. So you can see the needs to keep transit and paratransit at the current service level through the 5 years. The next table, this was also in last year. It breaks out our larger departments by property tax levy. So you can see which each department, the additional property tax levy that department will need by 2018. So the Office of the Sheriff is currently at $72.4 million. They would need $91.7 million by 2018 and so on down the line. And you see the comparison with how the total county tax levy is forecast to increase. So it is forecast to increase only by a total of $12.2 million. And obviously, some of the larger departments have needs greater than that. The next table just shows the history of the structural deficit from the previous versions. I believe the 2009 budget was the first time that this was done. You can see that with the steps that the county has taken in each budget, that structural deficit has not only decreased, simply going down to up, but very slightly you can see that the trend is at least not going down as quickly as it was in the past.
I mean, that sheet on showing you that it's kind of indicating of the things that have been done in the budget in order to correct these items going forward into the future. The corrections that have been made, in essence, we haven't been pushing things off to the future. We've been dealing with the issues that we have and a basis for that. And so it's been showing improvement over the years, and also the angle that you see of those lines, where some of them are a little bit more steep in other years than this year is going. So, I mean, it's some positive news. It's still a structural deficit. That's the negative part of it, but it's an improvement.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, could you shed a little more light on this chart, please? I can see the okay. So the purple line is the 2013 budget.
Yes,
that's on top. Now, does its height on this graph have what does that tell me, as opposed to the 2010 budget? Its height on the graph. They all descend, of course. But I was wondering, does this mean, what does this mean relative to the forecast?
The current projection, the current forecast we're doing, that's the purple line that you're seeing at the top.
Okay.
The 2012 version of our projection is the next line, which is the gray line. So if we're at this point last year, that's what you would have seen on the graph and what our projection would have been for 2013 and 14 and 15. So a year ago, those would have been our projections of where we would have been at for the numbers for those years.
Yes.
So example, for this year's projection, we're at about $19 million for 2014, versus last year, our projection was that we would have to deal with a $39 million issue, $38, $39 million issue, when we were looking 1 year ago. We were looking at 2014 with a $38 million issue that the budget office was going to have to deal with, and then the county board was going to have to look at of how the county exec dealt with that budget. You know, going down through the years, then the green represents back in 2011, 2 years ago, our projection was is that you'd have to deal with about an $82 million issue when you got to 2014. Now, each of those years decreased slightly, and that's kind of a history that you will see. Each of those years decreased because what's happening is you're making changes. Mm-hmm. So, example, you focus on 14. In the 2009, when we did the projection, 2014, we were predicting we'd have to deal with a $142 million shortfall in that year. So each year that you're budgeting, you're doing things to reduce the numbers. So the things were done in the 2010 budget to lower you down to $102 million for 2014. So changes were made, other issues were done. Similar in the 2010 budget, and you did other things that lowered you down to the amount that got you down to around $82 million for that number. Then you did additional amounts in the next year's budget that was able to lower that amount down in the future. So it's showing the progression by what you're doing in your budgets, because if you were just doing one-time issues within your budget, you'd probably see these lines still at this type of a range in what you were doing. But what you've done is that each year you budget, you're hoping that you're taking care of these issues that's pushing this line back down. You will naturally see some of that happening because you've got to deal with it anyway. But if you're dealing with it with one-time issues, then you're going to see where this will move back up quite quickly. It'll be a very steep drop again in the future years as you're dealing with it. So we wanted to show this to you to show the improvements that are occurring both in the budget side and in the structural deficit.
So, Mr. Mansky, then this is saying that the steps taken by this committee and previous committees have improved the deficit picture over the long term.
The items that are done in the budget, you know, by everybody. I mean, you know, you need both groups. You need the county executive. You need the county board to both deal with these budget issues. And what it's indicating is both have dealt with the budget issues. You know, one side hasn't overridden the other side to deal with the issues. You've dealt with issues. You still have a structural deficit. We know we still have issues out there. But what you've done is you've pushed it back up. I mean, you can see that the steepness going in future years, I mean, going like in the purple line going from 14 to 15, there isn't a lot of change that's occurring there. You know, and from 15 to 16, the angle becomes less, which means you're dealing with the issues in that year and as you go forward. You continue to have work that you have to do. The county exec's office, you know, the Department of Administrative Services, when they're dealing with the budget, they still have issues that they have to deal with. And that's what this is doing. That's why we do this report. This was also one of the requirements when we issued pension obligation bonds, that we have to continue to do this report. You know, you want to go out there and borrow $400 million, go right ahead. But you better be monitoring what you're doing, and you better be getting in a better position. What this is saying is we're getting in a better position through the efforts of, in essence, both groups. And you need both groups. Otherwise, you're going to see problems with the graph. And that's why we come back to each year to give you these reports, is to tell you whether you're improving or not improving. You need to know whether the things that we've done showing improvement or not.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Minsky.
Thank you, Supervisor Stamper, and Supervisor Lipton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2009 up to 2012 were pretty, negative on what would have happened. So my question is, in the progress and in the improvements, do you take that in consideration when you forecast?
Yes. In essence, the first year that we did this, 2009, we didn't know as much information as we know today in how to do the forecast and how to go through the forecast. And what we've done over the years is we've tightened up some of the things that we're doing. We use as much information we have. For example, we go back to the actuary and we ask them to give us the projections regarding pension costs and where they will go. We go back to the actuary for healthcare and say, what are your projections for healthcare? But we also look at what has occurred with us. We look at capital costs. We look at what we're dealing with. We talk to family care. We talk to other areas, what's happening in the state budget. You know, all of those types of issues come into the forecast. And it becomes, in essence, when you've worked with it a few years, it becomes a tool then that's just like doing a budget then. We've done budgets for years and years and years to deal with issues. I mean, one of the things the county has done that other governments haven't had to deal with, we've had to deal with deficits and structural issues for a number of years, probably 10 years, that a lot of other governments haven't had experience dealing with. And what you've been seeing as a result of that, you know, with the issues that the state is doing and changing and cutting on the dollar amounts and, you know, cutting the cost and the revenues that they give us and all of those types of things, you have a government here that's been dealing with issues for at least 10 years, 12 years, and you've dealt with the issues, and that's the purpose of this report, to show that you've been dealing with the issues as they come. And what's happened is those governments that have not had to deal with issues, they run into problems where they have to start taking from reserves. You've never had reserves. You have to deal with your issue from year to year to year and not cause an issue going to the forward to the future. You deal with the issues each individual year. You have to. You have no reserves. So what have other municipalities and other governments been doing? They've been taking from their reserves. They've been taking from what they have saved up for their rainy day. And sometimes, my opinion, is not dealing with the issue that's at hand. You have no choice. You have to deal with the issue at hand because you have no reserves.
And the forecast is always based on the five-year process.
It's a five-year process, right. So it's going to show, you know, for example, the 2009 budget is going to, what you're not seeing is the graph part that goes back to the previous years, 11, 12, 10, 9, of when the projection was made. In essence, this is a graph that's based upon that history of what we projected in those years, you know, going forward.
So in 2009, you projected in 2015 it would be about $158 million deficit.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And that's what our projection was at that time. But the number will always get better each year. For example, you see in the purple line, we're predicting 2013 is zero.
Yes.
Why is it zero? It's zero because you budgeted to zero. So it's based upon that budget, so you knew that your revenues would equal expenditures, you budgeted to zero. So you're dealing with the issue. But you had, your projection was last year when you did this projection, that you had to deal with a $25 to $30 million issue. And if you hadn't dealt with those types of issues and you hadn't done improvements, you would have started out 2014 at a $25 to $30 million issue. But you cut that number down to about, you know, 14 to 15 in that neighborhood. You've cut that number down. So you've done some things for the long term that is cutting that line down.
Because we have improved. Because we had to. Does that take away from the fact that we are doing well considering deficit?
I mean, it's kind of a dichotomy. Is that, you know, I'm doing well, but it's still a deficit.
Thank you. Sure. Mr. Mansky, if you could maybe make your answers a little briefer.
I'm sorry.
We're on item 5 of 20, and we've been here 2 hours. So
apologize.
It's an important item. No, I mean, it's just, you're doing a great job, but we've got lost.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, I'll be quick. So I'm looking for the two headlines, the big ones for me. One would be, looking back 5 years, we've taken care of $145 million in structural deficit. That's the good news. Looking forward, single provision in the state budget is going to more than double our structural deficit in this biennium. A single provision, the negative debt adjustment, $25 million would be added on the 2015. It would move that line down to 43 million rather than less than 20 million.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, close. Part of that deficit in 15 is just other things like health care increasing and revenues not increasing, but the number, the debt service change that you saw on the previous table, the drop by 15.9, if this goes through, yes, the tax levy available would drop by that 15.9, so it wouldn't quite double, but you're right, it's close.
I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood the number. So it's not a $25 million hit, it's a 15? I thought there was a 15 hit on the debt service that's not counted, and then the $10 million will have the
pension payment.
The new pension payment will not be deducted. So isn't it a $25 million?
The pension is already in here. The $10 million is already in here.
I got you. Okay, so it's a nearly double.
Very good. Thank you.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
Well, and I think I'm getting at some of the issues. I think Supervisor Stamper was trying to go to, and it's just a little history for people who weren't here. And Mr. Hankins in the room, I want to acknowledge him because he continues to work on this with her. This is the MuniCast forecast. This board did strategic planning. One of the things we did in strategic planning was require a five-year forecast. So this finance committee would have good information going into budget so we could address the structural deficit. And I think Mr. Mansky's correct. We have to give the legislative branch, the executive branch, all of us working on this to get this done. But what is a problem is politically, this kind of information is not before the legislature, and we have a former supervisor who states frequently that the board refuses to deal with the problems. And this chart belies that fact. And Mr. Fudge, who I appreciate and who understands this computer program and works on it, I believe that's been your function over the years as we do this, and I thank him for his work. I'm happy you've gone to the county exec's office. This is something that was in existence before the county exec got here, and before we start going out and touting how great the county exec has now done structural deficit reduction and strategic planning, please let the record reflect that it was the county board that both did strategic planning and started doing this kind of reporting. And I wish we would get at least some correction from the newspapers that when certain people make a statement like the county board is refusing to deal with the facts and refusing to take accountability, in fact we have. And this is the very chart that will show that. I think we've tried to be very strategic in a lot of things around here. So I know that's political, and we're not on the political stuff, but let's let the record reflect that now that Mr. Fudge is in the county exec's office doing strategic planning, we did start with that before the county exec got here, and Supervisor Sanfilippo was well aware of all this stuff. So thank you. I won't go on any more politically.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next slide shows the impact of the state biennial budget, at least on the local aid side. In general, the governor's budget has mostly flat aids, with a minor exception here or there. The child support GPR reduction, certainly not minor, is one item. General transportation aids are flat in the budget. However, there's a formula to disperse those funds, so that could have an impact on the county. There is, it looks like there may be an increase in victim witness program reimbursement rates for the district attorney's office, which would be good news. And then while youth aids are flat, the rates at the juvenile correctional institutes are increasing as they always do. Last year's version of the model had flat state aids, so at least on the state aid side, there's no major impact to the structural deficit from the governor's budget.
Thank you. Can the model? Can you use the model to show the alternatives? So, could you model the state budget impacts in, and show how the line diverges? I mean, I think that would be a powerful visual for us to use with our legislators about, you know, this is what you're proposing. So, I mean, you talk about our problems. Well, here's what your budget would create in terms of our structural deficit, and to see how that. How the arc bends down.
Yes, it could be adjusted to show those types.
That would be a very helpful attachment to have. Thank you.
Don't you ask for
it? I would like it. I think he knows that. Are you able to provide that? Is that something that we could get quickly?
Yes. And
I think for anyone having that discussion in Madison, it would be helpful. I'd appreciate it.
So just to summarize, the county obviously has made significant progress. The personnel costs and fringe benefits have been reduced, the rate of growth, so the curve has been bent. They will consume less of the county's resources than, you know, forecast in the future. Debt service will decline. Not making value judgment, but the improvements to the structural deficit have largely been on the expenditure side, fringe benefits and things like that. Some caveats that we've largely touched on. The state budget could change. You never know what will happen for good or worse. The impact of the federal fiscal situation impacting some of our services. The levy reduction related to to debt service. Obviously, the national economic environment, sales tax could be impacted, and outstanding litigation issues can have an impact as well. So with that, that concludes the presentation.
Thank you.
Any further questions of these two? We have Rob Henkin would like to speak also. Coming up to speak is Rob Henkin from the Public Policy Forum, speaking for information.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know you've been at this for a while, so I'll be very brief. I just wanted to add a little bit of perspective. I have been analyzing county budgets since 1998 when I came to the county in Mr. Cady's position. And so I would certainly echo the fact that things are getting better. This is improvement. I would submit to you that, in my estimation, this going into your 2014 budget, you are in better budgetary condition than any year that I can remember since at least 2002. So I think that is significant, and I think that there's certainly cause for pats on the back all around in many different areas. I think some of it was fortuitous. There have been some good developments in terms of your the returns on your investments in your pension fund. That, as you know, could change any day. I would caution you against doing too many cartwheels. I think there are a couple other caveats that I just wanted to bring up. Number one, the circumstance that Mr. Mansky described of year after year after year having to deal with structural deficits and have to cut from your budget takes a toll. And so while clearly facing a $15 million hole going into 2014 is very good news compared to previous structural holes. Cutting $15 million after a decade of cutting in 2014 in many respects may be more difficult than having to cut $50 million was 10 years ago. Now, both are very difficult, but you've already done so much cutting that it tempers things a little bit. I think that being said, again, without question, heading into 2014, you are in remarkably better. This should be a much easier budget than in previous years. Doesn't mean easy, easier. The other caveat is just related to that, and that is that what this model shows is a status quo situation. It is showing, essentially, it's forecasting out what will happen to essentially keep the current levels of programs and services in the next 5 years. The only issue with that is that as other issues have built up, as your deferred maintenance and capital repair backlog has built up, as the need to further invest in community-based mental health services has become paramount. When I sit here in the audience and hear that you have $40 million of unspent bond proceeds, while I haven't analyzed it and I can't tell you for sure, it makes me suspect that that may be tied to the fact that your staffing levels in your department of what used to be called the Department of Public Works Architecture and Engineering Division, I don't know what it's called anymore, but that maybe you don't have enough architects and engineers to have the capacity to spend the money even when you've allocated it to fix your infrastructure. So it's not just, again, this is good news. Keeping the status quo is now easier than it's been any time that I can remember for the past decade. But now the question is, are we satisfied with the status quo? Are there certain investments that haven't been made over the past several years that you now want to make and need to make that will make that those lines on the graph be a little bit more difficult, I think is one of the key questions. So, again, I say that not to spread gloom and doom and not to at all temper the satisfaction of being able to have bent the curve the way that you have, but I think that that's something to take into account. Now is the time not only to think about how to fill the gap that you're seeing from Unicast, but also to think about what your strategic investment priorities are going to be going forward. So that's all I had to say, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Supervisor Jersey.
I want to thank Mr. Hankin. He's been an ongoing really person that's I knows the county well, because for the new people, you at one time were the director of DAS, so you know intimately the county finances, worked and served on the strategic planning committee, which really then pushed this whole Municast, and we owe you a debt of gratitude, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the public policy forum, and I would just may I have your permission, Mr. Hankin, to issue a press release with some of your quotes in that press release.
Mr. Chair,
this is a public meeting.
Whatever I say on the public record, you're obviously entitled to use, Supervisor. My caution to you, the last thing in the world that I want to do is get involved in the legislation in Madison right now. I do think that there's many, many, many different factors that have converged to swing the county in a positive direction fiscally. Just as back in 2006, 7, 8, when things were looking so bleak, it would have been inappropriate to vilify policymakers at that time, because while certain decisions did contribute to that, there were also certain circumstances well beyond your control that led to a very severe situation at that time. I think today, again, there's a whole set of factors that have converged.
Well, I appreciate that, and I understand your difficult position, because you don't want to get into political skirmishes. Neither do I, for that matter, but unfortunately it goes with the territory. Certain individuals perhaps don't always listen if just a board says something. And it's helpful to have someone with your breadth of background and expertise to look at this and know what he's talking about and to make those conclusions. And you're right, these are public comments, but people don't always listen. People don't listen. And that's the frustration for me, because we need to make a record. And you're right. we get blamed for stuff that we really had nothing to do with as well. But I at least want the record to reflect that we're trying here. We are trying. This Finance Committee is trying to address the structural deficit. We've been trying to address it for many years. And I would just like to have the record reflect that. So I appreciate your willingness to let me do that. And I will try to be sensitive, not to put you in a bad position. Thank you.
You know, I don't want to belabor this either, but your comment was interesting to me. You probably know more about these budgets than a lot of the people sitting at this table, most people in the public, for sure. And why is it the last thing you want to do to voice an opinion on something when you're a perceived expert and a member of the public, whether or not something is a good public policy? That's the name of your group, Public Policy Forum.
And I guess my response, Mr. Chairman, is, again, I'm very comfortable with the words that I just said and repeating them, that from where I sit, the county's budgetary situation is better than in any year I can remember going back at least 10 years. Where I have some severe trepidation is the causal nature of that. There's lots of reasons for that. And there are reasons that many members of this committee may disagree with. We could have a conversation about the extent to which Act 10 has contributed to the county's improved financial situation. So I'd rather not go there because it's a very complicated issue, and frankly, there's no research or analysis that I could do that could try to get at who's responsible. I do believe that this committee should feel very good about the fact that things are headed in the right direction. I don't think there's any question about that, and I think that both this committee and the county board and the county executive and the controller and the auditor, all, Mr. Katie, all ought to feel good about that. But where I get uncomfortable is into cause and effect.
I understand.
Just one follow-up. The very fact that we know that, though, that we've got a muni cast to reflect that, does reflect the work you did and the work we did. That's what I'm asking you to, you know, to take some credit for, actually. But the statements out there being made that this board doesn't care and isn't doing anything. And that's just not true. So that's all I was asking to point out. Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Henkin? No, thank you for your appearance.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.